Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. As always, I strongly encourage everyone to go to the Devil Radio website, download our app, or go to the Apple Google Store and download our app. Take Devil Radio with you 24-7 wherever you go. And I've said it before, I'm going to say it again real quick. It's especially important in the wintertime. Why is it important in the wintertime? Because the FCC requires AM stations to power down after dark. It's a lot more dark. It's all about the sun's rays. I'm not going to get into the physics of it, but that is the plain facts. So if you're getting this on 1580 AM, download the app. And if you're getting it on 92.7 FM, which has a different physics to its wave, download it anyway. You're going to get better reception, better range. We have a big audience in northern Wisconsin, big audience in Milwaukee, Chicago, people around the country. Devil Radio, Devil Radio. And click on the link that says support Devil Radio. It's on there because our listeners asked for it to be on there because there are more than 80 right-wing stations broadcasting every day. I should say right-wing broadcasts every day, questioning our elections, attacking our democracy, and supporting Donald Trump. Devil Radio is the strongest, toughest, and least polite in opposition to that. Okay, we're going to the lines. Before we get back to the topics, we're going to go to Mark from the SAC first, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Mark from the SAC?
Yeah, you're talking about the violence that's going on. Let's remember when the protests were going on, you know, against Act 10, that our response was to march, and then there was the singers in the Capitol that, you know, Scott Walker, you know, just freaked out about. I mean, in the end, having people, you know, arrested, and those arrests were tossed out. I mean, that... Yeah, they were afraid of saying, you know, that they consider that just horrible and threatening and all that. Just merely people singing. Now they have people actually making actual threats. I mean, coming out and making these personal threats and collective threats. And the people making those threats, as you have said, need to be arrested immediately. And their butts tossed in jail, and they be, you know, charged and tried and hopefully convicted of, you know, making these threats, because it's just unacceptable that they're doing it. I mean, you bring up the assault on Charles Sumner by, I can't remember, Preston Brooks, I think was the name of the guy, you know, with a lead-headed gutta-percha cane, which is a kind of, I guess, kind of a rubber, if I remember right. But, I mean, that he beat him, like you said, he beat him nearly to death. I mean, I think the Republicans today would be perfectly happy to see somebody do that and would just look away, turn their heads aside and look away after witnessing an assault like that. I mean, Paul Gosar needs to be in jail. I mean, if you or I made a threat like that against Mitch McConnell or Marjorie Taylor Greene or Lauren Bobbitt or anybody like that, our asses would be in jail. And there shouldn't be a different standard for Paul Gosar or any of these other freak Republicans that are doing this stuff. That's just my opinion.
Well, right. And not only that, you know, you were talking about Preston Brooks and Charles Sumner. Remember, Trump is the guy at his rallies, there'd be a protester, and he'd go, beat the hell out of him. I'll pay the attorney's fees. Remember that? Beat the hell out of him. He said that. Right at his own rallies, beat him up. That's the kind of thing that authoritarians do. When Erdogan of Turkey came over with his thug bodyguards and some Armenian people and Kurdish people protested, he sent the bodyguards in, they beat the hell out of them in Washington, D.C. In Washington, D.C. And they got away with it. We're not having that. We're not having authoritarians come over here. They try that. They go to prison over here. They don't get back to go back to Turkey. And a thug like Erdogan does not get away with that. This is Trump, though. You see, this is Trump. This is what Trump says and does. Thanks for calling, Mark. Wisco Paul, my friend, you're up to bat. Wisco Paul, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Good morning, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. Well said, Mark. That's what I was going to talk about, but he said it all. But I'll add one other thing this morning. I did not read the whole article, but it was in the New York Times. It said Republicans have added enough safe House districts, that's Congress, to capture control of the chamber just based on redistricting. So that's a scary thought. And Joe Manchin just sits on his hands. So I don't know. I don't get it. So, well, anyway, thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Paul. Yeah, here's the deal on it. We have a majority of votes in the House to pass SB 1 and HR 1, which would get rid of gerrymandering, standardized for federal elections, which is the ball game for Senate, House, President, early voting, absentee voting, drop boxes, keeping thugs away from the polls. I mean, it's all good stuff. It's basically things that you would expect anyway. Pass the House, in the Senate, we can do it. If the parliamentarian says you can't do that by reconciliation, but that you'd need Manchin anyway. But to get rid of Moscow Mitch's 10 vote threshold for the filibuster, he'll filibuster it. All that Manchin and Sinema have to do is go, okay, we vote to suspend the filibuster for this one bill, this one bill. Moscow Mitch suspended it for one bill, which had to do with Supreme Court votes, because if the Democrats had said, we filibuster, you need 10 votes, none of the people Trump appointed would have gotten on. So Moscow Mitch suspended the filibuster for that. And he suspended the filibuster for certain other judicial appointments and cabinet appointments. We wouldn't have put in the criminals that were in Trump's cabinet if we could have filibustered it. So why can Moscow Mitch do it? And that's okay with Manchin. He never criticized that. But Manchin says, we can't do it for this one bill. Why? What is the reason for that? The reason for that is Manchin owns a $30 million stake in a coal company. He gets all his money from the energy industry, the fossil fuel industry, and he's a captive of them. And they do not want the voting protected because they want to get more Republicans in. He is a residue of a time when West Virginia was Democratic. Now it's Republican. And he didn't switch parties in time. And now he's going through the motions as a Democrat. I don't trust him. He's not a Democrat. Sinema was a woke Democrat. She was sort of a squad type Democrat 5-6 years ago. The stuff she said was indistinguishable from Ocasio-Cortez. But then she switched over. It went to her head that she got in the Senate, and she's getting a lot of money from pharmaceutical companies. And now she is, quote, moderate. But she's not really a moderate. I mean, you know, a moderate, if she's a regular Democrat, I'm a regular Democrat. But she will not speak out. She will not speak out where you have to speak out. Okay, and this is a question I want to get to right now. We've talked a lot about infrastructure on this show for a while. Hard infrastructure is passed. Joe Biden is signing it today. How about soft infrastructure? How about the $1.75 trillion, which will do a lot of good things? Child care. It'll go, you know, Medicare, medical relief, 9 million people will get relief. 3 million will get medical care and they didn't get it before. 3 million people. 3 million people. Universal pre-K, 4K and 5K, universal. A lot of very, very good things in this thing. Very, very good things supported by over 2/3 of the country. Brian Deese, the director of the National Economic Council, which is, he's one of Trump's major economic advisors, has said it's going to pass. It's going to pass. Well, it just came out today, or actually yesterday. They don't know when it's going to be submitted to the House. Don't know when it's going to be submitted to the House. Elizabeth Warren said it won't be submitted to the Senate before Thanksgiving. And Schumer said we're going to get to the defense bill first. That's a separate issue. So it's going to be a while. Why is it going to be a while? Do you think that they would wait a minute if they thought it could pass? No, they wouldn't. Here's the thing. Good congressional leaders do not put anything to a vote that loses. They can't do it. Destroys their credibility. The fact that Nancy Pelosi won't put it to a vote in the House this week, simply a reflection that there are 8 blue dogs. Arf, arf, bow, wow, wow, 8 blue dogs. She can only lose 3 votes. That's why when 6 squad members did not vote for hard infrastructure, it would have failed if 13 Republicans hadn't voted for it. Well, no Republicans are voting for soft infrastructure. So the blue dogs are barking. And if even 3 of them, I should say, and if 4 of them, of the 8 even, vote against it, it fails. This to me means that the blue dogs have talked to her privately and say, we're not going to vote for it right now until you can prove it's being completely paid for. Well, it's not going to be completely paid for. Part of it is the leverage of adding $50 billion to IRS enforcement to get tax cheats. Government's losing $1 trillion a year. They're not losing it to you and me, but they're losing it to very high-end taxpayers who get their income through LLCs. And they may show 20 LLCs, 30 LLCs. And some of those LLCs own other LLCs. And you need forensic accountants and forensic lawyers to unravel that. And George W. Bush starved the IRS precisely to make it impossible to audit high-end people. That's been going on for 15 years. And all of the Republicans oppose this because they're trying to help their donors steal money from the government by not paying their taxes. Can I be more blunt? I mean, that's just what it is. It's what it is. But that $50 billion expenditure will yield at least $500 billion, and the most conservative analysts have agreed on this, in realized revenue. But the Blue Dogs are saying, well, and the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, is saying, well, we can't count that $500 billion because it's speculative. So show me the tax increase. The Blue Dogs are barking, arf, arf, arf. That is why it's not going to the House. In the Senate, Manchin and Sinema doing a striptease. And they go, oh, okay, well, you'd give me that, okay. But now I need this, okay. But now I need this, okay. I do not trust them. And if either one of them jumps ship, it's not going to pass. Do you understand that? It's not going to pass. I don't care what anybody says. They have got to vote for it. And we can only lose three Blue Dogs. And if three Blue Dogs think that they are somehow sucking up to somebody in their base, fine, but no more than three. Pelosi is starting to orchestrate that now. Schumer is trying to orchestrate in the Senate. It's going to take Joe Biden to get Manchin and Sinema back and beat the living hell out of them. Beat the living hell out of them. But even then, Manchin is a slippery sort. He's an eel. When he leaves White House, having promised Biden, which he already has, that he'd vote for it, he may forget when he gets across the street. When he gets to a restaurant that night, he may forget. This is very high-end poker. Stand by. This thing should pass, but it's eight Blue Dogs and two senators who are standing in the way. Going to a break. The lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.